Barrett is a wife, mother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Hello, Elizabeth.
You can also say, and she's an Aries.
Really?
Yes.
I am too.
Oh my gosh, who would have ever guessed?
Not me.
So do
we couldn't be more different.
We couldn't be more different, essentially. But I think that would surprise people to know how introverted I actually am. Would that surprise you?
That would surprise me, and I don't think it would surprise anyone to know that I'm introverted.
I know. So, but you and I share that. I just use my introversion in extroverted ways. Thank you for tuning in this afternoon. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and I am, as I have been just week after week, so excited about today's show and so excited to share it with you and just feeling, I don't know, feeling the joys of summer pulsing through me at this moment. And we get together every Tuesday to talk about those things in our life that are important to us, the things that we're going through, the things we're experiencing as individuals and as a community. And we will invite you to be part of this conversation quite soon. 805-781-3875. I'll be opening up the phone lines to your questions or comments. You can also find out more information about the show at our website, thereluctanttherapist.com, or on our Facebook page. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And if you'd like to listen to previous shows, you can always find us at kcbx.org. So the inspiration for today's show. Well, let's see. It's summertime, and I finished school last week, and we had Cal Poly graduation on Sunday. And so that lifting of the school pressures and stress and deadlines, I think I was feeling the lightheartedness of that. There's something beautiful about living your life on the school schedule. Even if I weren't teaching, I think I would try to live on the school schedule so that there is that time when we shift, right? Come June, come the summer solstice, that there's a time for a shift. And so I'm inviting you to take a summer vacation with me of sorts. Whether or not you're still working full-time every day, or if you're a mom at home with the kids or a dad at home with the kids, I'm inviting you along on this summer vacation because I'm feeling very strongly that this summer is about inspiration. I'm feeling inspired, but I'm not just feeling it for myself. I'm feeling it for all of us. I feel this just really positive wave of energy flowing everywhere around me. So I'm feeling like it's got to be bigger than just me. And I can see, you know, just the excitement around me, and the weather's been beautiful. And I just think inspiration is in the air. So my idea was that for this summer, I'm going to pepper the shows this summer with guests that I always hope that my guests are inspiring, but I'm going to be focusing on conversations with people that I think are inspiring, whose lives are inspiring, whose careers are inspiring, whose activities are inspiring, whatever it is, to share with you. Like last week, we talked to Lois Bristow, 86 years old, finished her dissertation at 80, incredibly inspiring, so well-spoken. And, you know, that's the kind of thing, the person that I want to bring on the show week after week, so that you can feel excited and energized and inspired to maybe push yourself in ways that you don't generally push yourself, or maybe to take some time to slow down and focus inward and spend time just breathing in the place that you live, or the natural world, or your home, or your family. I mean, there's a tendency for us moms to get into summer mode, and we get the kids so booked with activities and going here and there and getting to the beach that we don't even breathe in our children, right? That we don't take the time to notice how they're growing and changing. And some of the beauty of summer, the longer days, right? We have the chance to actually see the sunsets, and we can finish dinner and still have a few hours to go out for a family hike or to do an activity together. For my husband, summer is what he waits for all year, because he gets off work and he still has daylight to go out and be a part of the world around him. So it's a summer of inspiration. That's my hope. And the next coming weeks, you will be hearing from people whose lives I find quite inspiring, and hopefully you will too. And then I'll look forward to hearing from you after you listen to these interviews. Call in and tell me what you were inspired by, or how you've inspired your life, or what's come up for you. Because as always, this show works better if we communicate back and forth. If I hear what's going on for you, or what's come up, or what you've heard that's really resonating at this time. And so today, to kick off, to be part of the Summer of Inspiration, I've invited in a guest, Diana DeGarmo. Diana and I have actually known each other in the community for over 20 years. Our eldest daughters were in elementary school together and competed on teams together and played in the backyard together. And here we are 20 plus years later, and our lives are quite different than they were when our children were in elementary school. Diana currently is a counseling astrologer with her master's degree with Stephen Forrest School of Evolutionary Counseling Astrology. She specializes in natal chart interpretations and predictive and relationship compatibility sessions. Diana, as an evolutionary astrologer, counsels, coaches, and guides her clients to avoid experiencing meaningless suffering by helping to illuminate archetypes and their personal meaning to each individual, because every person is unique, one chart at a time. So welcome to The Reluctant Therapist, Diana.
Thank you.
To see you.
It's so nice to be here.
So before we get too far down the road, because today we're going to talk about evolutionary astrology and how listeners can apply it in their lives and why it's something to be curious about. But before we go down the path, if you can, for the pedestrian like myself, describe what evolutionary astrology is and how it's different from the sun signs, being an Aries.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And when I started, I was curious too. I would open up, you know, of course, the New Times and look at Brenzi's astrology and make an assumption that moment that not right. You know, I'm an Aquarius, and I was like, this doesn't feel right at all. Or go, that's right on. And so I was curious about back, probably in the late 90s, about astrology. And I started studying with Stephen Forrest, who's one of the best astrologers, in my opinion, in the world. Not so much, you know, the Hollywood pop astrology. So you go to a cocktail party, and we all know our sun sign. I don't think there's probably one person who doesn't know what sun sign, even if they don't believe in it. So I was curious to know, well, this kind of makes sense, but I'd like to know more of how astrology can be a healer for me, how it can help me grow and illuminate who I am and what I'm about and what my life purpose is. Mm-hmm. Also, where I get stuck. You know, I noticed there was patterns that I kept repeating, whether they come from childhood. You're a psychologist. So it's like, is this because my mom and dad got a divorce when I was 8? Or is this because there's some karmic thing that I got stuck? Maybe if there's a past life, or I don't know if that's true, but just looking at how do we evolve and be awake and aware with consciousness, my particular time of birth and how I integrate these archetypes of myself. And so it gave me a lot of wisdom, and it helps my clients to understand how they can evolve and be conscious and make choices so we're not fated. So a lot of esoteric things are that you're fated. You know, it's like,
right,
well, welcome
predictive.
To being an Aries. You're a big warrior who's a dominated, you know, blah. And I'm a radical revolutionary that's going to blow bombs on people. It's like, that's not an Aquarius. I mean, but that's what you'd read in a book sometimes.
The brief one.
Yeah.
So do a layman's definition of evolutionary astrology then.
So evolutionary astrology is really about not so much of trying to predict the future, or it's about helping the individual or the soul recognize that they are born in a particular time at a particular space, and to make the best use of who they are. And as an evolutionary astrologer, I counsel and help others to try to figure what that is, their life purpose. So humanistic or counseling astrology, evolutionary astrology is going to be using a little bit more of looking at karma, if we could use that word, a little more Buddhist approach to maybe past lives or early childhood stuff that gets stuck. We can call it neuroscience brain stuff that we have to break habits. So there's habits that we keep repeating. So I help illuminate what those habits might be and then help my clients transform tendencies that are no longer serving them.
So like, like the basic astrology that I grew up understanding, the sun signs, there is a chart involved.
Right.
And houses.
Yes.
And within these houses, there are different planets that land in different spots based on when we're born and the time of day we're born. And then where these planets line up in our chart somehow kind of are not a guide, but... a story mm-hmm. of what our life could unfold
a piece
like.
Of music okay. that is your perfect piece of art.
Okay.
And sometimes the music doesn't always sound pretty. Sometimes there's a little bit of sound that sounds a little off. So and so you're right. So there's the houses, there's the signs, and then there's the planets. And those all make up like a book of your life. And as an astrologer, as an evolutionary astrologer, I help map out that journey. So read the book for you and help you interpret it. So a lot of people can learn this on their own. It takes time, but there's a lot of helpful tools to use. Stephen Forrest's books are one of the tools. So it's just almost like a roadmap mm-hmm. to your life. And it gives you, it's kind of quickens the insight. So sometimes people might say, I've been to therapy for 5 years and what you told me in one session helped me more because you just helped illuminate, or almost like shine a big flashlight or bigger light than a flashlight, on my preciousness, my beauty, maybe where I get distorted, where my archetypes, the warrior, the lover, or the mommy gets distorted. Maybe I've distorted some of those. So I help illuminate where are you at on your journey with your particular soul's DNA.
So we're going to be using terms today like
yeah.
archetypes,
yeah.
That those human characteristics mm-hmm. that seem to bound together to be known. Mm-hmm. If we say warrior, all mm-hmm. of us understand, oh, I can picture mm-hmm. what a warrior mm-hmm. looks like. Or if we say lover, we can mm-hmm. all get an idea. Mm-hmm. So those are what we talk about archetypes. We're mm-hmm. talking about those characteristics that are
right.
so well known, mm-hmm. we can identify them in one word, like shaman, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about archetypes, and we're going to talk about the planets, and we're going to talk about how the sun signs operate within that and soul's purpose. So for people that, you know, might look at astrology as more of kind of cocktail party, as you
woo-woo.
Said. Yes. Talk a little bit about the history of astrology, because when we use words like archetypes and the planets and, you know, shamans and goddess and warriors, I think mythology.
Right.
So is there clearly has to be some historical context
yes, yeah.
to the astrological
right. Well, I happened to bring one of my great books called Inner Christianity, A Guide to the Esoteric Tradition, and I was just kind of picking this book up and just looking at the history of astrology. So this is 5,000 years old. It just didn't come, you know, in the era of Aquarius, you know, in 1960s. No.
Which is when astrology kind of burst onto the
scene. It just burst. Astrology was used really as a tool for the wealthy and the kings and the queens of when to go to war, when to plant their crops. It was used, it's kind of like being a sage or a magi. So astrologers were like a magi to the royalty. A lot of astrology is based was based on the planets, Mercury, Venus, Sun, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And because that's what we looked at every day. And we would notice, there's no electricity back then, when certain planets aligned, there were certain activities. Mm-hmm. There were certain things happening. Certain things happen, where there's a flood, where there's a war. So this was more of a broader astrology. And as we became more enlightened, we wanted to actually say, well, how does astrology affect the human? How does the birth time and birthplace and your sun sign affect who you are? And so there became a more of a revolution around humanistic astrology. And it's been used, I personally believe, when I look at the wise men following the yonder star to try to find Jesus, those were the first original astrologers. Astrology is based a lot in Persia and Greece. That was the founding area of Western astrology. And it's been used mainly for signs, for guides to know when to act on things, know when we're going through treacherous times. That's kind of the scary part of astrology, and that's what scares people. Like, don't tell me my future. Don't tell me what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but when we look at our lives, sometimes the most challenging times have been the most painful but growthful times for our soul's evolution. So that's of evolutionary astrology, when we can make the best and we can be conscious, like, why is this happening? How long is this happening? What are my lessons around this? What school am I in right now?
So why is the birth time important?
Yeah, the birth time, I mean, there's a lot of people that are born, you know, on March 27th, 1961. in California.
That would be my birth,
yes,
if anyone's
right.
interested.
Yeah, or my birthday, January 28th, 1964. So, but what, and so where you were born, it sets up a sacred, almost like your palm print or a sacred mandala. So it creates the rising sign. I mean, this is a little complicated if you're new to astrology. So it's a little more deeper, and it took me a year just to get, you know, the houses down and then the sun signs. And so it sets up your sun sign, your moon sign, which is your female male aspects, your needs to be loved, which is the moon, your connection with your home and your mother, the sun, your ego, how do you survive, you know, your actual, who do you have to be true to? If we don't have the sun, we don't live. There's nothing that grows without the sun.
So we have the day we're born, mm-hmm, would be just our basic sun sign, Aries, right, or Aquarius. Uh-huh. And then the time narrows it down to those other houses, basically.
It sets up the wheel. It sets up the map. Okay. If we think of, like, without that, we don't have the pinpoints. Where is New Jersey? Where is Denver? We have to have that birth time. And if anybody's ever seen a horoscope, and maybe a few of you have if you looked in a book, you'll see 12 pieces of pie. It's almost like you're looking at a piece of pie. Mm-hmm. And then there's planets that land in particular areas of your life. So areas of your life, like the first house, that would be me. How do I maintain my sense of self, my sense of identity, my sense of radical selfishness sometimes? The seventh house, the opposite, well, that's the house of marriage and other people and relationships. So
how many houses are
there's 12, and that's a sacred number. When you think about 12, mm-hmm, in the esoteric tradition, we've got the 12 apostles. It's just, if you look into research this, like I've done, it's fascinating what we see carried through.
Yeah, there's no... we're not reinventing the wheel.
No.
That people have been having conversations
about.
We found new
planets. You know, yeah. Poor Pluto has been kicked out lately. Yes. But we're going to bring him back because he's very important. He's the archetype of transformation and death and rebirth. So Pluto transits or Pluto energy is all about the archetype of the shaman as you die to be revived. And we've all, you know, maybe remodeled our house, tore the kitchen apart, and then had a new kitchen. And during that process, it's like, my kitchen, but we're going to get a new one. But there's pain involved with living as a human being. There's times of bliss, like you just said. This is an inspiring time for you. And, of course, we see Jupiter in the sky today in Leo. Inspiring times. And we both have these Leo moons, so it's a fun day for us.
It is, and it's a new moon, if you're paying, mm-hmm, attention. And I think, mm-hmm, that's part of the reason that draws me to this is because I love the way this astrology that we're talking about, the evolutionary, draws us back to the natural world, that so much of it is about paying attention to what's happening in the natural world around us and how it does change our moods, our energies. You know, there's a lot of talk about the craziness of full moons, and mm-hmm, that people who work in emergency rooms will attest to, mm-hmm, how crazy things get. And we tend to not slow down and pay attention. If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest today is Diana DeGarmo. She's an evolutionary astrologist, master's level. She's here today to help illuminate us a bit about what evolutionary astrology looks like and how, if you're curious, you might be able to apply some deeper understanding of your life through your birth sign and your birth time. And we're going to open up the phone lines if you'd like to call in, ask Diana a question, share your birth date or birth time. We can give you a few snippets about your archetypes. Our number is 805-781-3875. And before we take calls with Diana, so as I mentioned at the top of the show, I've known you since our daughters were in elementary school together and your room mothers and we're hanging out. How did you get from there to this place? What was your journey to get here?
Well, I think when we have a radical career shift, like I was a financial planner, you know, managing money, lots of money in a corporate world, wearing pantyhose. I think they had pantyhose back then.
We bought them in eggs.
Yeah, and with a briefcase. And I just, after the end of my marriage of 17 years, I was kind of like, who am I without my briefcase? Who am I without being a wife? You know, I had to break free, which was, of course, if I knew astrology back then, I would see Uranus, the archetype of freedom, being authentic to who I was, just kind of came raging in and said, go find yourself. And if you have to leave, you have to leave. I mean, it was traumatic on myself and everyone else. So I went on a vision quest for almost a year and a half. I traveled the world. I went to Indonesia. I went to Thailand. I went and traveled the Southwest with my best friend. And I hit a astrology fair in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and got a reading at age 37 by a woman. And she said some things to me that were very accurate. And I was like, wow, this is too weird. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I ask is, you know, when am I going to meet my soulmate again? Because I'm like divorced. And she said, when you're 42. I remember thinking, 4 years? I can't be single for 4 years. And right around 42 is when I met someone significant. And it was just, I started really studying it. I started curious about wanting to heal myself. It was, I went in to try to figure out me. Mm-hmm. I was lost. I wasn't sure. I knew basically the structure of what my likings were, my personality was, but astrology just gave me such insight on loving myself. I started like not feeling bad about my Leo moon, my need for attention.
So it started making your actions or your drives feel a little more grounded and not just something that came upon you mysteriously?
And I didn't feel like there was something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. It made me feel like, oh, that's who I am. No wonder. So it lit up parts of my brain. And I started just basically, as my friends and family know, going down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. I was obsessed. I started with slow astrologers here for about a year and a half studying. Started doing chart readings. And then I went off to school and spent a lot of money and mm-hmm. studied with Stephen Forrest, who works with, you know, Robert Downey Jr., Madonna. He's written 7 books. He's one of the best. And he's loving and kind. And it's all about healing. It's all about being authentic to who we are, loving ourselves, being illuminated, because so many things we just don't understand. So we're kind of taking the shadow and seeing the shadow as a kind of a new term, you know, the shadow. And it just gave me wisdom. It gave me understanding. And the permission to be myself, which I didn't know kind of who I was when you get married at 20 years old. And I'm sure there's a lot of us who are still on that journey of understanding ourselves and self-care and self-love.
When we look from the, you know, point of view of mental health, mm-hmm. you know, I had a great supervisor when I was young, and we talked about all the different schools of therapy, you know, mm-hmm. through drama therapy and play therapy and music mm-hmm. therapy and talk therapy and you know, just the vast amount of ways we could understand the human psyche. And he always said, there are many roads to Rome. Mm-hmm. And the key is to be curious about those roads until you find one that leads you to your illumination. And I remember that, you know, that we get tied up around this idea that there's only one right way, right? There's one correct therapy or there's one correct healing process. But really what you're talking about is another road to Rome.
This is just another tool. Yeah. I mean, it's not God. It's just another, for me, I resonated to it. It just mm-hmm. it was the notes that I needed to hear, and it just clicked. You know, something clicks. And there's lots of ways. There's dream work. There's mm-hmm. regular psychotherapy. There's dance therapy, like you said, yoga.
Yes.
There's so many ways to figure out who we are. But this is just another tool, another way to roam, as you say.
Yeah. Don't you love that, though? Because
yeah.
it kind of ties into the archetypes, too, of getting our way back to the original ideas of human nature.
It's similar to Jungian therapy, if you think mm-hmm. about it as a therapist. You know, there's these archetypes of, you know, the great father, the great mother, and the warrior. And I use those terms a lot when I do reading. So I'm trying to speak clear English to my peoples and myself, too, because I can get lost in planets. I mean, a lot of people, what's Pluto? Why are you speaking Pluto or Uranus or Uranus or whatever it is?
How do you
this time?
Well, then let's see how this works. This is a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You're invited to call in. You know, I know you're a little shy, a little nervous. So Jordan, my producer, has volunteered to offer up her birth date and birth time to get a brief reading from Diana so that you can all hear what this is going to be like. And you're also welcome to call and ask questions about evolutionary astrology or to give your birth date and birth time, 805-781-3875. All right, Jordan, are you ready for this?
Well, my goodness, Jordan.
I guess so.
Oh. So, you know, I think it's important in any form of play and work that we have fun. As a Leo moon and a Leo rising, play is really important. So I'm going to just kind of have fun with the high archetypes of signs and the low archetypes of signs. So it's kind of fun. So,
like the ways that we're amazing and the things we
yes,
should look out for.
Or how we can really elevate our sun sign or our moon sign and how we can actually cause pain on others and ourselves. So
okay.
It's being aware mm-hmm. and awake. So Jordan is born on November 1st, 1990 at 6:35 p.m., maybe 6:38, so we've got a three-minute discrepancy, but we're going to go with it. And so the first thing I see is a lot of Scorpio. So the first thing, if you're a novice to astrology, it's like, oh my gosh, a Scorpio. They sting people, don't they? They have scorpions. You're going to find them in the desert, and they're going to sting you. So, you know, they've kind of got a bad rap, don't they, Scorpios?
I'm raising a Scorpio, and they do get a bad rap.
They do. So we've got the Scorpio of basically the Scorpio who's very much of the shaman. And we think about shamanism, someone who can transform things to be an alchemist, take something and change it. So there is the need for Jordan to take things and change them, see something that needs work and help. It's the great psychologist or the detective of the zodiac. So there's
maybe why she's a journalist.
Which I would hope that her journalism has to do with things that are a little bit scary. So, you know, it's important for Jordan to go into spaces that are a little bit dramatic or traumatic. So a Scorpio is a strong sign that needs to go into places that are a little bit scary, that have to do with insights that may not be pretty.
Okay.
Right? Her sun sign is in the sixth house, the house of service to others, the house of the helper. So she's here to get really good at helping in a scorpionic way. It's also the house of health. And wellness, so like, you know, fitness, wellness, how to take care of our bodies. So transforming her physical and helping others, but it's one of the houses of writing. So she's got a lot of energy, and, you know, Venus is in Scorpio, so she's very likable. I see that, very loving, very relationship-oriented, and Mercury, so that gives her that insight to dive into things that are not always seen. So that's just like one little tidbit, and I could go on for another hour and a half.
But we've got a lot of calls, so
yeah,
I'm glad that Jordan volunteered her sun sign or her birth sign. We'll start with Karen. You're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hi. My birth date was May 17th, 1950.
Know the time?
It's a little 4 a.m. or a few minutes after.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm 65 now, and I was thinking about talking with a life regression person. Because it just seems like I've had a lot of physical issues.
Okay.
And then I got bit by a tick and stuff. And so I just kind of wondered what the zodiac had to say about me today.
Sure.
Thank you, Karen.
Yeah. Karen, were you born in California?
No, I was born in Spokane, Washington.
Okay, so you're Western time. PTSD. PTSD. Yeah. All right, let's see. Hopefully there's not some PTSD going on. Let's just check your chart right now. And look what the transit. So as a astrologer, I'm looking at kind of what season you're in right now. Did you get out of kind of a challenging season? Are you entering one? So I'm just kind of looking and seeing if you're a more seasoned astrologer. I'm looking at the transits. I'm looking, what are the planets doing around you?
To sort of understand where you are now and what could be coming up.
Right.
Okay.
Or where you're at, what's going on. So you got bit by a tick. Tell me more about that.
Well, I know I have a house in Mercury, or Mercury Rising, one of my things that I remember. But
you mentioned that you've been having some physical health issues and other issues, and wondering, so what's coming up for you in the next few months or next years?
In the next years, because these last 3 years have been very challenging with this situation of... kind of an unidentifiable disease that has been identified as Lyme disease that mimics everything under the sun, you know?
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm on a path of healing. I'm some better than I was, you know, but, you know, this is like, can be the endless highway of ill health, or there are new energetic ways of healing that I've been hearing about that are through mental coding. And of the mind that is supposed to be very, very helpful for Lyme people. And then there's the old adage of way of going about it with antibiotics and some herbal drops and things like that.
So let's see what we got for Karen.
Yeah. So I'm just noticing that you're a sun sign in Taurus, May 17th, 1950. And that's not really being activated right now. What I'm seeing, and you're so speaking the truth as I'm hearing you speak, you're so intuitive already. So a lot of us know already what we need to do, but we just need affirmation from a guru or an astrologer. So it's right. Nice. I'm hearing you going, I've been through so much. So I'm seeing, just to quickly throw it out, I'm seeing that you've been going through a lot of changes and transformation as Uranus and Pluto have been around 12 to 13 degrees of cardinal signs. That's, if you're not familiar, but basically you've been going through a lot of stuff over the past 2 or 3 years. So right now I do see a lot of energy in your house of health, a lot. And I really like the idea of looking at alternative healing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really nice space to go as Neptune is in Pisces, doing some stuff to your sixth house, meaning Neptunian Pisces energy is all about, first of all, trying things that are more energetic, healing through mindfulness, meditation, through essential oils. But of course, when I look at your chart and I see, wow, she's got a lot of earth, you have to be practical about this. You don't want to just all of a sudden move down to South America and live with a shaman. At the same time, maybe you need antibiotics. So there is a need to blend, I would say, integrated medicine. This is a particularly, I would say, challenging time around your health. I would suggest paying attention to it, but not worrying about it, because I think you've done enough worrying already. So how does that make sense to you?
So I guess the last piece for mm-hmm, Karen, mm-hmm. What should she, when should she experience a shift? You know, when's the light in the tunnel?
It doesn't look like it's going to be right away. We've got a long transit of Neptune opposing her Saturn, if people know astrology. So Saturn is structure and discipline, and Neptune's like, you know what, dissolving. So there's a little bit of, you know, possibly confusion. Okay. And so it looks like probably for the next 7-8 months. I mean, I'm not, don't hold me for this. Don't come after me if it's not accurate. But I would certainly not expect this to be like tomorrow you find the answers or the solution.
So hopefully that gives Karen a little place to start, that she's on the right path,
right?
But she's not quite out of the woods yet.
You're on the right path by this holistic approach, and also recognizing that sometimes, when Elizabeth and I were just talking about this earlier, sometimes things are psychosomatic. So notice what you're thinking, notice what you're eating, breathing, notice if there's something that's blocking you emotionally or psychologically that you haven't really dealt with or faced. That's another thing I would look into.
Thank you for calling, Karen. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. If you're just tuned in, my guest is Diana DeGarmo. She is an evolutionary astrologist, and we're just kind of exploring this other road to Rome, another way of looking at our lives and our path towards healing. And Bob, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. Good afternoon. I've been having some, I guess, pretty great changes, and some very good and very positive and very challenging. My birthday is December 28th, 1949.
Okay. And your birth time?
I was born in Southern California at 2 a.m.
Great.
2 a.m.
And I'm getting ready for a medical procedure in the morning.
Oh, well, then this is a good time to get a little insight as to what...
Yeah, that's why I'm actually in my vehicle, you know, with my Bluetooth, but I just heard it and I thought, wow, I should call it. So anyway, that's what I'm doing.
Hi. Yeah, well, welcome. Thanks for calling. Well, I just see you're a strong little Capricorn, 6 degrees in the third house. I'm just eyeballing your chart right now. Moon in Aries at 18 degrees. So I'm looking for key indicators of timing right now. Okay. And looking at noticing... can you tell me a little bit more about the surgery tomorrow, and give me a little more information?
Yeah. It's a procedure for heart stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a cancer survivor, mm-hmm. and a very positive person, and I've been an athlete most of my life, mm-hmm. and I use my therapy pretty much all my life has been surfing.
Oh, interesting.
That's a really good place to go, too, because you have this wonderful moon in Aries conjunct a north node of the moon, which we haven't talked about. The north node of the moon, for anybody who doesn't know, is where you really need to be going in evolutionary astrology. It's really where your it's where your Oz is, and your north node of the moon is where the golden egg is.
Kind of like the north star that we should be following.
North Star, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's in Aries. So this is about you being brave and courageous and taking steps to be taking risk. You know, going into surgery is, of course, risky, but I look at your chart and you have this warrior aspect in your chart. So I would really send, because a lot of energy is also in your 11th house, the house of friends and associations. So, and there's the ruler Mars and Libra. So having good affiliations, so if your physician, your hospital, networking, I think, you know, it looks like you're in good hands, you know, for as Jupiter, the sign of luck is at 18 degrees of Leo, trining your moon, which is very, trining means, and it's a good thing. It's like, oh, fire, fire. So I would keep that good attitude. That's what's coming to me right now to tell you. Keep that good attitude. Of course, you're going to be a little bit scared, because who wouldn't be? I would suggest just keep that surfer, optimistic, hopeful, buoyant, enthusiastic energy that you have tomorrow. I would start doing some meditation on that, just seeing yourself coming out alive and strong with a better heart or a better ticker.
And a longer surfboard.
Perfect.
And a longer surfboard? Maybe a shorter surfboard.
I know,
I'll embrace it yet again, surfing.
And from the reluctant... From the reluctant therapist seat, Jude, I'm always thinking, start envisioning what that gift is you're going to give yourself at the other end of your healing. You know, start manifesting. What is that? What is my holy grail of gifts that I'm going to give to myself once I'm through this procedure? If it is a longer board or a better board or, you know, that surf trip to the Maldives you've always wanted to take.
Or hanging out with people that you love, too. That's another thing I wanted to tie in there.
Thank you for calling, Jude. We're going to be keeping in our... Bob, I keep calling you Jude.
Thank you.
Bob, thank you for calling in.
Hey, Jude. Thank you so much.
Have a good day. So it's interesting because part of us wants to know, you know, what's going to be in my future. Then part of us wants to know, where am I strong? Right? What are my strengths? What am I good at? And like you talked about Jordan having that ability to be a storyteller and, you know, that strength about her. So I think there is kind of that mixed bag of, you know, I kind of want to know what my future is, but maybe I don't want to know. And so maybe what the best thing to know really is, where are my strengths? How am I resilient? How do I tap into those parts of my nature or temperament that make me strong?
And that brings me to a good point, because we can't really – people think, well, oh, it's a fate thing, fate versus destiny. We have – in evolutionary astrology, we have choices by our attitude and by making conscious decisions not to experience – the transits or the future predictive work as challenging as it could be if we weren't aware or awake. It's like dealing with things. We're dealt the cards, but we can deal those cards. We can make a conscious decision how we're going to handle that.
And that's why I always think it's so important to understand and own what our strengths are, right? To own those ways that we have the ability to make change in our lives. And I think that, from a therapist's point of view, and maybe from an astrologist also, is that when people understand what their gifts are and own those gifts, it's not of just, well, maybe I'm kind of like this, but to really say, no, in your chart, you're strong in this Aries or this Mercury where you're a communicator. Then you, that gift you've always felt is inside of you becomes more magnetized or not magnetized.
And you can kind of lean on those gifts as opposed, you can really know that, oh, this is where my strength is, so I can feel settled in this, as opposed to get fearful of your lack of those gifts in one area. So it really helps people understand who their allies are, who their sub-personality allies are, if you want to say.
And if you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. If you'd like to have a conversation with Diana and I, the number is 805-781-3875. You're listening to KCBX Public Radio. And Jude, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, my birthday is February 14, 1955. I was born at 12:30 p.m.
12:30 p.m. Can you say the month and year slower?
February the 14th, 1955. Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. What a wonderful day to celebrate a birthday full of love.
What time was it again?
12:30 p.m. So Jude, how are things going for you today?
Oh, fine.
And what makes you curious about evolutionary astrology?
Well, it probably have more history about it. It have a great history before Christianity, before many of these religions. and it'll probably give you more insight on certain matters. It deals with the constellation and universe, this galaxy. So we all live here, so it's good to have some bearing.
And that's kind of what draws me to this also. I love anything, as I said earlier, that draws us to look out into the natural world and our connections to those things that are greater than we are, because that's what gives our mental health a sense of grounding, that we're not just alone in the universe. So, Diana, what do you think?
Well, I'm smiling here with Jude because I look at, you're an Aquarius, of course, and Aquarius rules astrology and rules astronomy and rules, you know, the cosmos and the curiosity of the universe. So, and I see that your sun and your Mercury are conjunct in Aquarius, meaning they're fused. So I see that your strengths are that you're very curious about and how the cosmos works. So you have a real strong mark of being able to be a philosopher and even study astrology of curiosity as I look at your chart and kind of smile as I see this very Aquarian mind, seeing how symbols and patterns work and how concepts that are a little abstract is very Aquarian, looking into the future and being open-minded to all that is possible.
What would be Jude's job at this point in his life? What should he be focused on?
Well, I feel it, as I'm looking at his chart, I'm really toned into the evolutionary astrology aspect of the north node of the moon. And I see his north node of the moon is in Capricorn. And so his job is to continue to stay stable and grounded, mm-hmm. to be solid for others, to be solid for himself, to be disciplined. So there is a part of me that wants to say is that discipline is a good thing. Getting carried away with drama is probably not the best place to go. So if you find yourself kind of getting carried away in other people's stuff or your own stuff, staying really mature, like the great archetype of the great father, mm-hmm. The elder of the tribe, that's another word that's coming to me.
How does that sound, Judy? Can you take that job on?
Okay, yeah.
The wisdom seer, also very wise.
So today, Jude, we name you the wisdom seer, Jude the wise.
Yes.
What about money?
Is there any money in his house?
Of course. If you stay grounded and wise, and it's a lot about, that's a very good question. It's a lot about you staying responsible. That's another big word, responsible. So noticing actions or things that maybe that are irresponsible and things that are responsible.
So using that wisdom mm-hmm. to be able yes. to know where we're going.
Right. And using your powerful intellect. So mm-hmm. there's another, you know, I look at your chart and I see very high IQ. I mean, very wise mind, good brain power there.
So there's a lot you can work with.
Right, yes.
A lot of strength stone. Thank mm-hmm. you for calling in, Jude. Susan, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hi there. I'm a Sag, Virgo, Virgo.
Okay.
So my birthday is 12/5/55.
Wow.
And I hadn't heard of the term evolutionary before in regards to astrology. So I'm very interested in that and at an interesting place in my life.
So you're December 5th, what year?
Sorry, December 12/5/55.
And what time?
11:32 p.m.
There we go. California?
I'm sorry?
Were you born in California?
Yes.
Okay, great. So where you're born on the planet makes a difference. So if I ask that, that's, super. Boy, I just sit here and I look at December 5th, 1955, and I must have some resonation to that number because you're like the eighth person I know, including my daughter, good friends. So I just kind of smile inside. Sagittarius. Sagittarius, December 5th. So let's look at, but you're probably a different Sagittarius that was born on December 5th than my friends and family. So that's a unique blueprint, evolutionary-wise. So the first thing I see is this tremendous amount of Sagittarius. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 planets in Sag, Virgo rising, of course, and Virgo moon. So obviously you know your astrology chart,
yeah,
don't
she,
you?
Yeah, she definitely
is. Yeah, that was exciting. My daughter has a Virgo moon and Sag sun who's born on December 5th. So there's a square to your sun. So there's cross purposes with your moon in Virgo. The helper, the analyst, the slow down and make sure we don't worry too much. And then there's this just brilliant, you know, charge ahead Sagittarius archetype that is the gypsy, the philosopher, the pilgrim, the scholar. How do we deal and interact with the Virgo moon together as we have Neptune in about 9 degrees of Pisces squaring all these things right now? So I'm just kind of speaking quickly because we probably have more charts that we're going to come to. But I see the need for your soul. And this is a good evolutionary word, the soul.
Right, and that's one of the words mm-hmm. different in evolutionary than mm-hmm. in the sun signs
right.
is that we're looking for the soul's purpose,
yes.
right? That you keep saying north of the – I'm hooked on this idea of our north star,
yeah,
right? This
that's
idea
a great way.
We all need to understand mm-hmm. where we're mm-hmm. headed, that north
right.
star.
Right. So I see Neptune in her seventh house right now, the house of relationships and other people. So this is a really great time to gather friends, maybe even a primary relationship. Do I say boyfriend or partner who is as of a spiritual nature that brings you closer? And this isn't about you doing this alone. That's the fun thing about this is about gathering friends or even a special friend and creating alliances that are of a spiritual. A metaphysical, psychic, artistic, creative nature that is less involved with the outer world and more involved with your inner self, creating spaciousness within you.
And where does the gypsy archetype play for Susan then?
Well, she's got the sun in the fourth house, and I happen to have a wonderful boyfriend of 7 years who had the same thing and born on December 5th. And so he has a Volkswagen van, and he lives in his van, but he always comes back to his house. So she needs to be roaming and exploring. So having avant-garde experiences or even exotic experiences, it would be nice for you to get out of the area now and then. I hope you are roaming. You don't have to have a Volkswagen camper van, but something like that in order to find what you're looking for.
There you go, Susan.
My bags are always packed. And
good.
In fact, I created two businesses because with the first intent of that they would be able to be anywhere I was. So
yep.
Mobility is certainly important to this
yep.
badge.
Yep.
Oh, you did great, Susan. Well,
yeah.
thank you so
yeah.
much. That was perfect, Diana.
Yeah.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest today is Diana DeGarmo, evolutionary astrologist. This is part of our Summer of Inspiration here on The Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm all about those things that inspire us to go further in our life, to be better people, to grow in our curiosity about others, mentors. So Diana today is sharing her wisdom about evolutionary astrology, and you're invited to call in 805-781-3875. Darlene, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
First of all, I don't know the time of my birth, so I wanted to do my daughter's. Would that be okay?
Well, you know, I the only thing I do I really appreciate is I really like to get the permission of the person we're doing the chart. Sometimes if there's confidentiality that comes up in there, I was trained, this is the ethics in astrology, believe it or not. We have ethical codes.
So you can
still do your, you just have to have the permission. It's. I know that sounds kind of, but.
Is your daughter a minor?
She's not here right now.
Is she a minor?
She's not a minor.
Okay.
She's
old can we give?
Enough. She's 27.
can we give a little info to Darlene without her birth time?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your birth date, Darlene?
March 15th, 1948, and California, San Francisco, to be exact.
All right.
And March. I believe it was afternoon, but I'm not quite sure.
You know what I do if people don't know their birth time? I just put a 12 p.m. It's going to give us enough insight in the 1 or 3 minutes we have. So March 15th.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
that
what year,
sounds delicious.
What
year,
48,
okay. A lot of 48s and 55s. And
I know.
Okay, so California, did you say?
Yes, you did.
Okay, great. So let's just look at the basics. Of course, Sun in Pisces, the mystic. So okay. You have the archetype of the mystic, the poet, the seer, the visionary. So those are strong possibilities. Moon in Taurus. Definitely, most likely. I mean, we don't have the birth time, but I'm going to go with the moon stays in a moon sign 2.5 days. So we probably guess a moon in Taurus. North node in Taurus.
Which
so
means your north star,
north
where
star
you need to be
Taurus,
going.
And we look for this. We look for the ruler of Taurus, and we see the planet Venus in Taurus. So this is a wonderful – and Venus is being aspected, has been, by Pluto. So I would suggest this is a great time always, not just in this moment, for slowing down, mm-hmm. living a simple life, less drama. less drama. So if you're involved, like, you know, if your life's been a soap opera, like, oh, you know, or an opera, this is a lifetime to step away from that drama and just live a simpler life. The word would be just calming down, you know, so spending more time in nature, luxuriating in wonderful food and soft fabrics, anything that is connecting you to your physical sensational body and keeping you safe and calm, because it looks like there hasn't always been calm in your life. Looks like there's been some chaos. So we want to work towards calming down.
How does that sound, Darlene?
You know what? That is pretty much exactly what I do. So I'm sitting here looking out at a repurposed stainless steel sink that I turned into a fountain for my hummingbirds, and they love it.
Well, that gives me chills.
Yeah, so I've got an infinity stainless steel sink.
Well, I love it.
And I've got cages hanging with food in them, and I've got butterflies and nasturtiums growing everywhere.
She even talks in a way that sounds very calm.
Yeah, very Taurinian.
So that we can be. Thank you, Darlene, for calling.
Yes, thank
so
you.
When we're looking at the astrology around us and our houses and our planets, that we can be living in our right space and maybe not even recognize it then.
Well, she obviously didn't need an astrologer to tell her what to do, which was beautiful. She was already in the flow of knowing that her soul, her Taurus, Venus, and Moon needed to have beauty and elegance around her to feel life, to feel vibrant, to be safe, to feel secure.
So we talk
feel
a lot.
Feel love, really.
And we talk a lot about, with evolutionary astrology, about the soul and the soul's purpose. I think one of the things I read that evolutionary astrology is about answering two questions. Why am I here? And what is my purpose?
Exactly.
And so to be able to find that peace in knowing, oh, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. For someone like Darlene who can say, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Maybe an astrological reading just reaffirms that there's no other agenda I need to have right now in my life.
And so many of us want to be something big, or we're not doing this. Sometimes doing nothing is actually doing your purpose.
Right.
And that's kind of tricky for an American to say, what do you mean doing nothing and just looking at hummingbirds is my purpose? This is a beautiful thing.
Right. And we think that when we talk about why am I here and what's my purpose, it's always to be president. but there are so
and
many
some
ways.
Some of us need to be president. Maybe that's our purpose. I mean, that's the thing is we all have our perfect flow and perfect north node of the moon and perfect place to be.
I love this knowing our north node of the moon.
Mary and the south node of the moon, which is go away from that.
The things
that's
to avoid.
That's where there's toxic energy that's really no longer serving us. So we will get the nodes of
the
moon.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi,
yes.
Mary Ann. Give us your dates.
Hi. 12/17/49. I'm a gregarious Sagittarius.
I love it. The Sagittarius are all over us. That's wonderful.
12/17/49.
And yeah, she did say gregarious.
I'm sensing a big transition coming on, and I'm trying to really go through it. I don't know whether to go full speed ahead or to be patient, which I'm not.
Do we get a birth time?
What time?
Oh, 9 a.m. in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Eastern.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see if we can pull that up.
So Marianne's feeling the big transition coming on, so maybe her north star, north of the moon, and maybe look out for what can draw her back south.
We want to go to north, not to the south.
Yes.
You want to go north. North is basically where we want to go. So let me look at Sagittarius, moon in Scorpio. I'm seeing what's kind of going on right now. One of the things I see right away in the next week or two is this Jupiter in Leo at about 19 degrees. So you have this wonderful opportunity, and that's a good Jupiter word, as Jupiter is going into your eighth house. And the eighth house is house of deep, intimate relationships and partnerships with others. It's also about other people's money, inheritances, big business. So I don't know if there's some relationships you're in that are very deep and enriching for you. Are you married?
I'm a stay-at-home Pisces.
Stay-at-home.
A non-traveling Pisces.
Right. Okay. You know, there's a lot of beauty and there's a lot of opportunity for a deeper relationship with your stay-at-home Pisces. So are you planning on taking a vacation soon or anything?
No, just got back from traveling.
Okay, just got back.
Getting resettled. But I have a sense that there's something waiting and... I just basically looking for guidance as to how to proceed.
Say that again?
How to proceed. She mm-hmm. feels like there's something looming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look right off the fact, and I don't see anything big looming at this moment. Now, do I see things looming? Of course, there's looming things. This is life. But I don't see it looming right quite away. I mean, there's some, we've got nothing with Neptune or at this point. We've got nothing with Pluto. We've got some wonderful things. I mean, it, looming is such a scary. I always feel scary when I see looming. I know, it's like I feel a big dark cloud. Woo! I think the only what I see looming is opportunities, and maybe there. Here's the tricky part. Sometimes what seems to be maybe bad news can be good news.
Okay.
Sometimes there, it could be feeling kind of icky and scary as Pluto is coming up to trine your Saturn, and anything that's transformational change can also give us some anxiety.
So this looming.
I can
sense
see what
be.
She's feeling, but the looming to me, when I look at this as an astrologer, I see it as being very, very positive. Yeah.
Well, then you're just going to have to, Marianne's just going to have to hold that then.
Yeah.
And find what that positive is. Thank you for calling in, Marianne. We have time for one more reading. Janet, are you still there?
I am.
All right, give us the dates.
This is so exciting. I just love your show, by the way. It's just something I look forward to every week.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Give us your dates.
Yeah, birthday 6/10/58 and born at 8:43 p.m. in Washington, D.C.
There we go, Eastern time.
What was your year again? June 10th,
1958.
Okay. And what time was it again?
8:43 p.m.
It's just amazing how many people know their birth times here today. I'm pretty impressed.
It's actually getting that passport.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Gemini, lots of Gemini. First thing I see is just this really beautiful new moon right now that we're having right now, and four or five planets in the sign of Gemini. So they're all in your 11th house, the house of other people and friendships and the tribe. So very active. It feels like a very active month for you. Lots of things going on with relationships and things like that and friendships. The big picture, so future plans and goals, things like that.
So it's a good time for these things.
Yes, very good time, very active time. So using your mind, writing, communication, anything to do with the word, the spoken word or the written word, is excellent time for that for the next week and a half.
And anything to avoid?
I would say getting monkey mind, getting all over the place, you know, spinning out of control where we have too many monkeys swinging the tree and you can't get a hold of it. So not going, you know, zoom, zoom, zoom everywhere. So staying grounded. But even if you're zoom, zoom, zoom for the next 2 weeks, this will pass and just enjoy it and have fun with the extra activities.
So sometimes when we have the extra energy and we're Geminis and everything's aligned, even though we're feeling kind of chaotic, it does settle. The moons shift. The planets shift.
They shift constantly. It's a constantly changing universe, isn't it?
Thank you, Janet, for calling in. And so to wrap things up, Diana, if people are interested in knowing more, getting a fuller reading, because we can't do any justice in a minute and a half, but it's fun to get the nugget.
Yeah.
How do people contact you and get a reading, and how does that work?
I'm on Facebook, Diana DeGarmo. You can just Facebook me. That's easy. And I also have Astrology with Diana on Facebook or Aquarius Astrology on Facebook. My website is astrologywithdiana.com. My number is 295-9889. Texting is great, 295-9889. So asking for a reading that way. I do a lot of readings on the phone all around the world, so we don't have to meet in person. And I also work in my little beach cottage in Shell Beach. So that's how I work. And hope to hear from some of your leaders. It was so much fun today being with you.
It goes so fast. The hour always does. Fast. Thank you so much for being a part of the conversation today. I think we'll have to have you back as part of our inspirational fall and winter we move forward. Mm-hmm. Until then, I hope you'll tune in next week as we continue these conversations of inspiration. If you'd like to contact me, always Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com or through our website, previous shows, podcasts at kcbx.org. I wish you a wonderful week. And we're going to go out today with a little astrological pop tune from the 70s, which I'm sure many people will recognize, and hopefully it will leave us all feeling good. Thank you, Diana. Thank you, listeners, for supporting Public Radio KCBX.